Joining the Colorado Wagners Network and Farmcast Radio by telephone once again is Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture Kate Greenberg. We'll be discussing several topics as always, especially as it pertains to the coronavirus pandemic here in Colorado. But first off, welcome back inside the barn, Commissioner Greenberg. I hope that you are doing well and staying safe during this situation.
Thanks, Brian. It's good to be back, and definitely wishing the same for you and yours.
I see your posts on Facebook and what's happening there under your quarantine situation, and get a kick out of some of the pictures you have of your dog, right?
Oh yeah, my I'm on, like a lot of us, on Zoom calls all day long, really just in front of a screen on the phone, and in the background I've got my dog and my cat who likes to wrestle. So and my cat is very gregarious too. He likes to come visit whenever the camera turns on the Zoom calls.
I think we've all experienced that. Hey, this week is Colorado Animal Protection Week, as proclaimed by Governor Jared Polis. Your thoughts on that, and what context of that declaration means to the livestock industry here in the state? Anything?
Well, you know, I think, the governor has been a proponent of animal welfare for his whole tenure as governor. Of course, there's been a lot of work that First Gentleman has done on that front. I think this proclamation is, it's a proclamation, it's here to raise awareness around animal welfare. Of course, at the Department of Ag, we run the PACFA program, which has really been front and center in this work, the Pet Animal Care Facilities Act. And that program is all around pet animal welfare, which, is a big area of work for us, really important work. The proclamation, talks about all animals, and I think it's important to think about animal welfare for all animals, and that's something that we do at the department. It's something we do in ag. And, I think this week is to raise awareness around that. And I do want to give a shout out to our team on the PACFA front. They have the work of our inspectors. They're out investigating issues of animal welfare, and man, they see some pretty unfortunate stuff on the pet animal side. And our team is dealing with that. So, I'm honored to have a team of folks who are out supporting animal welfare. And of course, in agriculture, it's something we take really seriously. So, raising awareness, and this is also a time when a lot of pets need a lot of homes. And I think the governor has been, done a lot of work to make sure COVID doesn't get in the way of adoptions and foster care and whatnot. So raising awareness, getting people to be thinking about it in the midst of the rest of things going on.
Speaking of awareness, this is also Public Service Recognition Week, which is celebrated the first week of May since 1985, by the way, and that honors the men and women who serve our nation as federal, state, county, and local government employees. And with the current COVID-19 situation, it's a great idea to recognize those employees, like the ones at the CDA, who work hard for the ag industry here in the state.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up, Brian. We are celebrating it this week. This whole week we had a really fun town hall yesterday with all of our staff. Virtual town hall, of course, had our senior leadership up on the panel and got the chance for each of our directors to give thanks to their team. We had games and prizes and ways to just celebrate our staff, because really the work they've been putting in, the work they put in before COVID, was immense, incredible public service. They're doing work that, as you mentioned, serves all of Colorado, and a lot of work that's not recognized. Our field teams who are out inspecting scales, that's not work that usually makes the headlines, except for when we're celebrating Weights and Measures Week. It does that week. But normally, it's a lot of work that's behind the scenes. But without it, our food and agriculture system would not operate. Now with COVID-19, of course, there's a whole another layer of work, a whole another workload on our team's shoulders. I just can't say enough how much I appreciate all the work every single staff person at CDA does every single day.
I would agree with that statement for sure. The entire CDA staff, all the employees and all the departments need to be hugely recognized and thanked this week. That's for sure, and every day of the year for that matter. Now, back on April 24th, Colorado Governor Jared Polis and you requested a USDA Secretary of Disaster Declaration for Colorado's Western Slope counties impacted by the late season hard freeze event, which occurred actually on April 13th. Temperatures there on the Western Slope hit a low of 19 degrees, which potentially decimated 95% of this year's peach crop. Has that declaration been approved yet?
That declaration has not been approved. It's a multi-step process, and actually what we have a three-month window to request a declaration, a disaster declaration. So We got it out within the first week or so after talking to our producers out on the Western Slope. The process is the governor and I request that declaration from Secretary Perdue, but at the same time, FSA has a big role to play at the local and the state level. So FSA is actually is doing more work to assess the actual damage. There were some initial reports saying that we were looking at about 90 or 95% crop loss from that freeze. That was an estimate. So FSA is going in and getting firmer numbers. They will then send those numbers up to the secretary as well. And once he has sort of the full picture, we'll be able to make the decision around a declaration. We're hopeful that's the case. We have our federal delegation, Senator Gardner and Senator Bennett, worked on this as well. So they are keeping an eye on things on the D.C. end, and we just want to be sure that we get our producers on the Western Slope access to the resources they need to make it through this season.
Of course, that disaster declaration is necessary for Colorado producers to access critical programs and assistance from the USDA in the face of significant fruit crop losses and reduction in harvest this season. A lot of folks may not know this, but the Western Slope produces a lot of fruit. Pears, apples, apricots, cherries, grapes, and peaches, among other ag products. And you mentioned that Senators Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner were working on this. Also, Congressman Scott Tipton issued a collective letter of support for the declaration. So that should carry some weight, one would think. By the way, nearly $40 million serve as the key economic driver for Mesa, Delta, Montrose, and Montezuma County. So that disaster declaration is very important. My guest once again, Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture Kate Greenberg. I wanted to move to the U.S. Small Business Administration as they began accepting new economic injury disaster loans and advance applications on a limited basis to provide relief to U.S. ag producers. How important is the EIDL program and ag producers applying for that?
Well, I'd say, it's critical for anyone who's hurting right now, anyone in ag, to keep a very close eye on all of these programs. I would say no one program is a panacea, but the fact that the EIDL has now this week, I think starting Monday, opened up to receive ag applications is a big deal. We saw, of course, with the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, that has had two tranches of payments to payment processes going on. The first one, man, was that a rush at the door. And a lot of ag businesses, were having to compete with much larger companies and companies from all sectors. So, even with the second round of PPP, that might be a good program for some of our producers, does not mean that all of those who apply are going to get the resources. So I think making sure folks are tracking everything that's coming out, the PPP and the EIDL. I think this week the EIDL is where, a lot of the opportunity lies. But, of course, a lot of it depends on working with your lender. We saw some hang-ups with some lenders. There was, we were certainly concerned. We're ag lenders and more rural lenders as competitive in accessing those SBA dollars early on as some of the larger lenders. I think moving forward, it's always with whatever relief package comes out in the future as well, getting ahead of the curve and having, a great relationship with your bank and having those conversations early so you can be ready to jump on relief is a really good tool. So yes, I think Brian, you're right on EIDL, see how it plays out. And we'll be continuing to advocate for additional relief going directly to ag.
I know the Small Business Administration, EIDL loans, and the Paycheck Protection Program were just two of the many topics that were discussed on May 1st during that Colorado bipartisan town hall on agriculture and COVID-19 that included you and Colorado Senators Kerry Donovan and Jerry Sonnenberg, as well as Colorado Representative Dylan Roberts and Mark Cantlin. What were your takeaways from that virtual town hall as you look back on it now? And will there be more of these types of the CDA legislative virtual town halls going forward, do you think?
Good question. That was the first one we've done. I think my one takeaway was how glad I was to be back with our senators and representatives, with the session being suspended. A session's a busy time. It's a crazy time. But there's also a lot of camaraderie. And that's I think, truest in ag downtown. It's ag remains bipartisan. And we struggle to keep it so. And I think that's what the town hall last Friday you know, all of us really reiterated was what ag is facing, what rural Colorado is facing. It has nothing to do with the party. It has to do with the fact that we're all here to support ag. We love ag. We're working on behalf of ag. And that's what Friday was all about. So we talked about all kinds of things. I gave updates on, you know, our operational status at the department, which is open for business. We talked about the federal programs, the relief work, and then all of the work we're doing at CDA for COVID response to make sure we're solving problems quickly for agriculture all across the state, and advocating everywhere from the local to the state and federal levels to get the resources down to the ground that our producers need.
All the audio from the May 1st CDA Legislative virtual town hall is online inside the barn, or you can watch the video online at cobb.gov/ag. Now, this week, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue sent two letters to governors across the nation and leadership of major meat processing companies regarding the reopening of meat processing facilities. Of course, the letters established the USDA's expectations for the implementation of President Donald Trump's executive order signed last week. That executive order directs plants to follow the Centers for Disease Control and Occupational Safety and Health Administration's guidance specific to the meat processing industry to keep facilities open while maintaining worker safety. Any thoughts in that regard?
You know, I think the core of the EO and the core of the letter is from Secretary Perdue is what we've been doing here in Colorado throughout this event. There's been an incredible amount of work to keep facilities open. Of course, there have been some closures. There have been reduced operations. We're learning a lot about how this disease works, and we're still trying to ramp up testing, ramp up PPE. And we're, all of us, the whole entire world is figuring this out as we go. So, you know, I think it's certainly of top of mind for, of course, all of us. I think I maybe mentioned last time we've been working, we set up an interstate livestock working group through the NASDA, the National Association of State Departments of Ag. In the early days, you know, a few weeks ago, I lose track of time, but early on, it was clear that as plants risk increase, there was an increased risk of plants closing down, that, you know, we were particularly concerned about what happens during multiple simultaneous closures when there's no more option in the region of where to send livestock. So we pulled together this group, which includes commissioners from all the big processing states, and it's been an incredibly important network for us to learn what's going on in other states, share best practices. And we're really, Colorado's in a really good place. You know, we've seen, we're sort of on the reopening, at least on the big facilities. We're still working with all of our local processors as well and helping address the challenges they might face. So, you know, I think the heart of the EO, the heart of the letter from the secretary is states, you know, our food supply chain is critical, just like worker health and safety is critical. Please do everything you can to support both of those, and that's what we're doing. And the governor has been very clear with Vice President Pence about our need for mass testing in targeted regions, especially around critical ag workforce, to make sure we can keep that workforce at work and also keep them safe. So a lot more to come on that front, but certainly front and center and a primary commitment for us here at the state to keep moving in those regards.
Also, according to a news story from the Associated Press this week, the attorneys general for 11 Midwestern states, including Colorado, urged the Justice Department on Tuesday of this week to pursue a federal investigation into market concentration and potential price fixing by the meat packers in the cattle industry during the coronavirus pandemic. In that letter to U.S. Attorney General William Barr, the state attorneys general noted that the domestic beef processing market is highly concentrated, with the four largest beef processors controlling 80% of the industry. Did the CDA consult with AG Phil Weiser and his staff in regards to this issue and prior to him joining that letter, or did the Attorney General's office act on their own?
So, you know, the Attorney General is of course, in his position because he can take action on such items on his own. He's an independent authority of the state, and that was how this one played out. It's certainly an issue that we are well aware of at CDA, and a question that is a national question right now is, have we lost so much competitiveness in the marketplace that it's now, you know, an issue that needs to be investigated? That's the question. As the issue you mentioning is now very much elevated at the national level. So, it's on our radar at CDA. We're certainly hearing, you know, as we're going out and asking folks, what does recovery look like? I think there's a lot of concern about prices on the production end for our ranchers, for our livestock producers. A lot of questions about, you know, the disparity. How do we stay in business? How is it that prices are so low for us, yet, you know, climbing on the other end? So we're keeping it on the radar and, you know, gathering, you know, insight and information from what folks are feeling on the ground, what they're feeling from their business, and just keeping a pulse on sort of how the national conversation is evolving.
Some other states like Oklahoma, Commissioner Greenberg, have started a task force to look into the situation on the meat packers and the price fixing. Is Colorado moving towards that, you think, or have you guys discussed that at the advisory council level?
Nothing to my knowledge yet on that front. I mean, I think this action that AG Wiser took this week is very fresh, and there's a lot of conversation to be had about what role we as a state, both the executive branch and the attorney general side, you know, want to play in this. But of course, you know, I have a lot of concern for our livestock producers, and, you know, whether it's prices or other pressures. I mean, so many of them are already working and living on the margins that, you know, you push prices lower and lower, and what does it mean for our cattle producers in the state? So I think it's a big deal. It's an important issue. It's one that I certainly want to see what role we can play, if any, in understanding what's going on and helping make sure that we keep our independent cattle producers out and running their own businesses, keeping those independent businesses alive. I mean, that's what keeps so many of our rural communities thriving, is the fact that people can run their own business, can support their family in rural Colorado, and we want to make sure that remains the case.
Yeah, the hardest part to wrap your head around is box beef prices just keep going higher and higher, and the live and fed cattle prices on the board and what they're paid from packers is going down. And just those two things don't seem to equate. Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture Kit Greenberg is my guest once again. Wanted to shift our attention to the state legislature. They're going to get back to work, I think, and resume their work on May 18th. And we talked about this last month, but anything that the CDA and legislative liaison Jordan Beasley is working on prior to that?
Yes, so, you know, plenty of work getting ready for May 18th, which is right around the corner. Session's going to be back, you know, just for a short period of time, just a matter of weeks. And there are a lot of things I think are going to fall off the plate this year because there's just not enough time to make everything a priority. So, of course, the budget's a priority. And then we have been working on what priority bills we have. And, of course, we didn't have too many put forward. We are maintaining our work on our three sunsets. Those are going to be priorities. And then our hemp alignment bill, just to be sure that our state hemp program can align with the interim final rule out of USDA from last fall. So those are our priorities. Jordan and our team at CDA are doing a ton of groundwork just to make sure we can move into session with as much efficiency as we can, since it's going to be incredibly fast-paced and just a ton of work going on at once. So those are our priorities, but of course we also track and monitor every other bill that's intending to move. So there's a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes work, working with other agencies and bill sponsors and stakeholders to get bills that are not department bills in a way that's going to work for agriculture. So it's, you know, a lot of things that you don't see going on, a lot of conversations, a lot of negotiations, and trying to figure out what's priority for everybody else right now. So it's going to be a busy time coming up here in a few weeks.
You know, with agriculture being deemed essential during this coronavirus pandemic, a lot of people are worried because Governor Polis has stated that cuts will be forthcoming because of the budget situation to all departments. Are you concerned about the ag department and cuts there?
You know, we're concerned about the state budget as a whole. It's a big hill to climb. What we're dealing with right now. We are, of course, going to be, cinching our belts. Every single agency is. The way we're approaching it at CDA is our staff come first. Our staff are the ones who, of course, they're our team. They're a part of our CDA family, and you can't deliver service without people. So we are looking at every other option for getting creative around savings while protecting our staff and protecting our programs and our services that we provide. So you know, I think it's yet to be seen what the coming years will bring. I think we're certainly anticipating many, many years of tightening our belts, and each year might actually be harder than the last. It might not be easier. It's hard telling yet what that's going to bring, but we're planning for it. We're getting creative. We're finding efficiencies in other costs, other cost savings around, you know, whether it's travel savings, administrative savings, just in getting more efficient, not by changing our staffing. We're looking for all of those strategies moving forward. So I think it's, you know, it's a place where I think we'll need to continue just having open dialogue about what this might mean, but we are completely committed to upholding everything that we provide to the state while saving money, being very conservative in our expenditures, and planning for a very tight next few years that we're starting to do right now, and getting ready for what that looks like. So a lot more to come, but we've got an incredible team, and couldn't be more proud of the work they've done to get creative and make sure our staff stays whole.
We'll have to see how things shake out of this legislative session once they resume on May 18th, and see what budget cuts could be forthcoming for all departments, including maybe in the ag department. Now, quite a few agriculture-related events across the nation and here in Colorado are either being postponed or canceled, like the 2020 Greeley Stampede, the 2020 Pedal the Plains event, and even the Colorado Livestock Association announcing just yesterday that their annual meeting has been canceled. That's just to name a few, but any word yet regarding the 2020 Colorado State Fair?
No word yet, Brian. So the fair board met, I believe it was last week. We've got a little bit of time before we have to make a final decision. However, the team is, of course, thinking through all sorts of scenarios of how this might play out. You know, in my mind, the bottom line is we need to uphold the heart and the spirit of the fair. The fair might look different this year. It's happened before. It happened during the polio epidemic. It happened during our world wars. You know, the fair adapted to serve the needs of the state, and it will do it again this year. How that's going to look, we have yet to know that. We've got a little bit of time before the board has to make that call. But we know other fairs are starting soon, and this is a place we're actually next week getting together with the you know, statewide fair board and you know, members from our team, and really working through what are fairs overall going to look like in 2020, what's happening in other states, what kind of guidance do our fairs need to make sure that they can plan ahead. You know, there's issues with contracts. State fair is a perfect example. So a lot of variables to balance on this one. So no great answer yet, but we can probably bet it's going to look different than normal, and we're just going to find a way to do that while preserving what the state fair is at its heart. And work with all the other fairs too. Anybody who's got questions, we're trying to get answers and make sure that our fairs have clarity well enough in advance to make plans as needed. So just another place where it's yet to be seen, Brian.
You bet. Well, I'm concerned about it as well, as we look forward as the announcer of all the livestock shows, Denner. But I'm sure a lot of county fairs are wondering, you know, and probably basing their decisions upon what the state fair does. So everybody's waiting on that. Speaking of deadlines, the 2020 census is still going on right now, and citizens of the state still have time to file online. They've got to get that done before August 14th. They could do that by telephone or postal service. Anything you want to mention about the 2020 census?
Take the census. It matters. It helps get resources to rural Colorado, and it's an important deal for our state.
Your response matters. Health clinics, fire departments, schools, even roads and highways. The census can shape many different aspects of your community. You can learn more online and fill out your census. Get it done at census.gov. May is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's more important now than ever to take good care of yourself, your family, your neighbors, and many out there listening to us right now, Commissioner, may be struggling with all of this that's going on around them, and they may even feel like the situation is out of control. But what they need to know is there's free and confidential help available to them right now through the Colorado Crisis Services Program, right?
That's right, Brian, and that's been the case. You know, for many years, we've operated, we've run a great partnership with the Colorado Crisis Hotline. And really what we've done at the department is work with the call takers to make sure that they understand what farmers and ranchers are facing. So when they get a call from you know, a farmer or rancher or someone from an ag family, they've got a baseline understanding of what that person's going through. We're continuing that. We're celebrating Mental Health Month. We're going to have some exciting rollouts later in the month around our mental health program, just more resources, an updated look. And Brian, of course, will make sure you have all that info once we're ready. But want to be sure that everyone has access to the call-in line, the chat line. You know, I think without the stress of running an ag business, there's enough anxiety these days to need somebody to talk to. But you stack on top of that everything that farmers and ranchers deal with uncertainty, with markets, with weather, with whatever it might be on a given day. Stack that on top of COVID, and you know it can be tough. And we don't want anybody to think that they have to go through it alone. We will get through this time, whatever time it is, whatever struggle you're going through. And it's so easy to pick up the phone. I know it can feel hard and it can feel vulnerable, but we want, at Department of Ag, want folks to know that it's normal, it's important, it's actually a service to you and your family and to your community for you to pick up the phone and call. It's how you can help your family and your community if you're struggling, and we want to make sure that's available. So I'd love to be sure that talk line and number are on this interview and on the website, as you always offer, Brian.
You bet. Just as you mentioned, whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. You can reach out for free, confidential, professional, 24/7 support by calling 1-844-493-TALK. That's 1-844-493-8255, or simply text the word TALK to 38255, or visit CobnerCrisisServices.org. And I know lastly you wanted to mention that you're actually requesting folks contact you about how the situation is impacting them and the coronavirus, correct?
That's right, yep. So last week I sent out a big e-blast, and we've been posting on social media as well. So if you haven't seen it, definitely join our newsletter, follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. We want to know what recovery looks like for our folks in agriculture. We are going to be, you know, doing a lot of work from here on out of how do we build from here? How do we recover from the damage done? What does agriculture need? What kind of resources do we need to be resilient in the face of future challenges like we've been seeing? So I've asked for input from anybody who is in food and agriculture by May 15th. So a little over another week that's open, and you can send your ideas to cda_foodsecurity@state.co.us. I believe we also have a form that you can find on our website, but that email address works just fine, cda_foodsecurity@state.co.us. Send us your ideas. We're going to synthesize them and send back a summary of what we heard, and that's going to help us and help inform our advocacy in D.C. for future relief. It'll help inform our strategic planning for the department and help us figure out how do we set both the department and help set up Colorado Ag for the future.
Well, I know we've covered quite a bit in this month's interview, but any final thoughts or something we might have missed before I let you go?
I feel like I have the same final thought every interview and every day, which is just the gratitude I have for the amount of work that people are putting in on any given day, but especially these days. You know, I know how much extra work I've given our team at CDA just to, you know, be able to respond to COVID. Our producers out in the field are doing this, you know, this incredible amount of work every single day, getting creative. I mean, what we've seen with, you know, new marketing channels, our producers just turning as fast as they can to figure out how to get product to new market during this time, you know, consumer engagement, bringing the consumer in, and as the world is realizing, as many of us in ag have for a long time, if not our whole lives, how important food and agriculture are to society, you know, and that work of agriculture has plugged on throughout this whole event without stop in most circumstances. So just grateful to all who do this work at every step of the supply chain and, you know, who are critical for a reason. So thank you. Thank you, Brian, and thank you to all listening.
You bet. Those comments, once again, from Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, Kate Greenberg. I appreciate your time each month and the work you do for Colorado's ag industry each and every day as well.
Thank you, Brian.
The mission of the Department of Agriculture is to strengthen and advance Colorado's agriculture, promote a safe, high-quality, and sustainable food supply, and protect consumers, the environment, and natural resources. The vision of the Colorado Department of Agriculture is that Colorado's agriculture be strong and vibrant, a key driver of the state's economy, and recognized worldwide for its safe, affordable, and abundant supply of high-quality food and agricultural products. If you'd like to learn more about the Colorado Department of Agriculture, stop by their offices at 305 Interlochen Parkway in Broomfield, or give them a call at 303-869-9000, or simply visit the CDA online at colorado.gov/ag.